Nebuchadnezzar, it was either total alliance to him or you die. You know, and so in the book of Daniel, you see how Nebuchadnezzar tried his best to be king of the universe, but someone knocked him down a peg or two in the story. But this morning, I want to talk about Daniel. I want to talk about his stance and how we can relate to him and how we can learn from him. And so if I were to title this, I would title this The Posture of a Steadfast Believer. Because here in the book of Daniel in chapter 1, this is the verse that actually spurred on this little sermonette. But Daniel, in verse 8, purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requests of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. I want to stop there for a moment. And I want to ponder on just the first part of that scripture, because it seems to allude to a lot of things. Daniel purposed in his heart. What does it mean to purpose something in your heart? What does it mean to really focus on one particular thing or aspect of something? And here, when you read the story of Daniel, you find that he himself, surrounded in a pagan society, purpose in his heart that he would not defile himself. And as I was pondering over this this week, I kind of related it to today's society. You know, we live in we don't live in a godly society. We live in a pagan society. It has changed over the years. Yes, we deem it godly because everyone uses God. Everyone knows God. Everyone can relate to, hey, I pray every day. Hey, I know God. Well, the demons know God too. Okay. But it's a society that is a godless society, in a sense that we have lost certain values, certain morals, certain standards that we abide by. And those standards are not our own, but those standards are the one that were in place in the Word of God. And as I look at society, as I look at those that are around me, I see a trend, a slow decline in our belief system. A decline not only in our neighborhood, communities, and surrounding areas, but a decline even in our churches today. Because our beliefs are kind of watered down, so to speak. Because we tend to wink at certain things and not other things. And I wonder, where have we purpose in our heart to not defile ourselves? Okay, now this is just a thought that I was meditating on, and this is something that just struck at me because I deal with a lot of different individuals at work, and most of the time, as they approach me, their standard of beliefs is slightly different than what the Word of God says, but yet they believe in God, and I tend to question. I say, Lord, I don't want to be the one that's judging, but Lord, I don't understand this. And so I speak to them, but I speak to them in love because that's what we're supposed to do. You know, what is your purpose? What is your standard that you abide by? You know, and so that's the question that I kind of allude to every time. You know, but here in the book of Daniel, when we're looking at the character of Daniel, he's refraining from eating meat. Now, there's nothing wrong with eating meat. I mean, I encountered somebody the other day that I didn't realize they didn't even eat any vegetables. And, well, that's good. I wish I could say the same thing. You know, I would love to have steak and potatoes every day, but that's impossible, you know, because steaks are expensive. But here, Daniel, he was refraining from the meat from the king's table. And there's a many reasons that could be the reason for this. One may be because maybe there was some blood left in the meat. Now, if you know the diet of a Hebrew or a Jew, you know that they refrained from eating any meat that was bloody. That was part of their laws, the Mosaic laws, and so they would refrain themselves from that. But the Bible doesn't say that. Another reason might be that this meat or this food was offered to the God of that day. And so knowing that it was offered to an idol, Daniel might have refrained from eating that meat because it was more of an offering to a God, and he didn't want to be associated with that. Or maybe it was just an unclean animal. And once again, if you look in Leviticus, you see that they had a list of animals that they kind of avoided, you know, as far as their diet. That would be found in Leviticus chapter 11. But we do not know. The only thing that we do know is that Daniel didn't want to defile himself in the sight of God. We know that he wanted to stand apart, stand different from everyone else. But yet, if you read this, just to read the first chapter, you're going to find that there were some other things that he did not refrain from. And I'm going to throw these out, and that way maybe it will just kind of challenge your mind this morning. He was told that he had to study the pagan culture, but yet he did not refrain from that. He learned their traditions. He learned all the culture and the language of it, but yet he didn't refrain from it. And so the purpose of not refraining from that, I will say, is this. He had a chance to combat against the false doctrine if he was familiar with their culture. He had a chance to stand up against their ideology because he had already studied what they taught. He would be more effective as long as their culture did not become an obsession with him. As long as their culture did not tickle his fancy, so to speak. You see, there's many things that we can do as believers as long as it doesn't affect your lifestyle, the way you walk as a believer. Are you with me? You see, because if it's going to affect you, if it's going to tickle your fancy, if it's going to put you in a place where you desire everything that is theirs rather than God's, then something's wrong. But yet it didn't affect Daniel. And so that's why he did not refrain from it. But then there was also the name change. In that same chapter, we find that Daniel's name was changed as well to honor one of their gods. But not only his name, that's found in verse 7, Belteshazzar, but the names of the three Hebrew children, which we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but those were not the names of godly names. They were the names of gods of that time. Their names are also written here as Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But yet, with the name change, it didn't affect who they stood for. You know, people can call you... That wasn't my phone. You know, people can call you anything they want. But God has a name that he has chosen for his people. They can label you anything they desire. But remember, if you are a child of God, that is the only label that matters the most. You see, and that is something that we as believers need to stand on. I'm a child of God. It doesn't matter what you call me or what you say to me. I am a child of God. You see, in today's society, many times we've heard names being directed to believers. Well, you're haters. I don't know if anybody ever experienced that, but when you stand for truth, sometimes you're labeled as a hater. Now, and I challenge those. I said, if you live different from me, I'm going to love you the way you are because you're a person. But I'm going to stand for what I believe because I'm a believer. You see, there's a big difference. And so here, Daniel, in the midst of a pagan nation, I want you to realize this. This nation was in control of everything. This nation had their own religion. This nation had their own doctrine, so to speak, had their own culture that was totally opposite from his. But yet, he stood fast in what he believed in. Now, he didn't come against them as far as a hater. He didn't come against them and slam them. He stood fast and said, this is what I believe in. And he would declare it when it was necessary. If you read the story of the three Hebrew children, I'm more familiar with their pagan name, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In chapter 3 of Daniel, you're going to find that there was a time when they had to stand for what they believe in. You see, when someone challenges you directly, then we need to speak out directly. And so in that chapter, they said, we will not bow down and serve your gods or your golden idol. There's only one true God. There was something in their character that people seen and knew that they were for real. There was something in their character that stood out. The posture of a steadfast man is not about what you say only, but it's what you possess. Okay? Are you maintaining your integrity as a believer? I encountered many people that it seems like the environment changes their standards. So, for example, they come into church, how doth thou beeth? And outside of a church, well, son of a gun, you are, and don't fill in the blanks. And I know people struggle, but that's not what I'm saying. This isn't somebody that struggles. This is somebody that just blatantly, hey, night and day, okay? There's a big difference. And the posture of a steadfast believer is one that when winter comes, you're still the same. When summer comes, you're still the same. Meaning, when it's a good season, when you are happy and joyous and everything's going well, you're still a Christian. When things go bad and it goes downhill and it seems like you're in the pit of hell, you're still a Christian. Why? Because your foundation is not in this environment. Your foundation is on a solid rock called Jesus. That's why we don't crumble when things come our way. Yes, we might struggle, but we don't crumble. I might stumble at times, but yet I know that my Redeemer can pick me up. And that's who we serve, you see. And that is the posture of a steadfast believer. We're not perfect, but we are redeemed. And so here, when I was looking at Daniel, I see that his stance was that he stood against the norm of society. Does that sound familiar? That the norm of society will declare one thing, but it will contradict the word of God. That in the midst of an influenced nation, can we be like Daniel and stand in spite of what everyone else says? You see, it starts with purposed in your heart. Oh, now you see where that sentence comes in. It starts with determining that I am going to be the light that God has called me to be. You see, it starts with the ideas or the commandments that God has placed in our heart from this word that will have an impact on our behavior and on the world as well. That's exactly what happened with Daniel. His relationship with God impacted his behavior that when he was faced with this king. Mind you, I said this king, he likes control. This king was the one that if you said boo and he didn't like you, you're going in. Listen, the three Hebrew children said, I'm not going to bow. Guess what? You're going in the furnace. I am playing. I don't care if some of my men die. I am playing. You're going in. But yet they stood fast. And so here Daniel is saying the same thing, but he's saying a little more with wisdom. And sometimes that's how we ought to approach as believers. Wisdom. And too many times, there's a time and a place for everything. But too many times, I think we tend to get saved or go to hell. Get saved or, you know, and pound it in them. Where's the love? Okay? I mean, there has to be a balance. Yes, there's judgment, but there has to be a balance. And here, when Daniel was confronted with this, he didn't want to change his moral stance. Knowing full well that he was going to die, he puts out a challenge. And the challenge was taken. That was wisdom. Because knowing full well, maybe it was going to condemn his heart if he was going to take of this meat or whatever it may be. But either way, he chose to stand fast in front of someone that could have taken his life at a moment's notice. That is amazing to me. Because that is the posture of a steadfast believer, where they refuse to bend to the majority of society. That's what we're facing now. There's so many issues that we can just go on and on. But I just want you to think about this. Are we bending to the majority, or are we following the word of God? And because if we say we can't do it, we have an example. We have four examples in the first chapter of Daniel. Excuse me. But that, as I was looking at this, there were other examples of similar statements that were used of those that would stand fast in the face of adversity. And one was found in Joshua, where Joshua himself said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That's a stance. That's a posture of a steadfast man. That's one that has purpose in his heart to say, you know what? I don't care what kind of ideals you're going to bring to the table. If it doesn't match up with the Word of God, then it doesn't belong in my house. It doesn't belong in my arena, because in my arena, it's all about God or nothing else. The posture of a steadfast believer is one that says the covenant statement that I belong to God and nothing else. You can change my name, but you can't change my character. You know, you can change my name, but God has already given me a name that belongs to Him. And so when I was reading about Daniel, in reality, he was willing to bear all consequences rather than submit and affect his relationship with God. Bear all consequences. And I wonder, we can say we will do something this way, but we will never know until we're challenged up front. So if my job said, hey, if you're not willing to give up your religion, you can't work here, I know what I would say. Okay? See ya. Cash in my 401k. But it is something that you have to purpose in your heart before it even happens. You see? It is something that you have to contemplate. It is something that you have to already have it all worked out, meaning my relationship is the most important thing. And so everything else is secondary. So it's purposed in your heart. One of the things that I wonder, as we look at what's going on in society, will we yield to, and I'm not talking on a anything in particular, but will we yield to a mandate that contradicts God's word? I'm not talking about the mask, don't go there. Will we yield to a mandate that contradicts God's word? Because there's going to come a time where you're going to have to stand for your faith. There's going to come a time where you're going to be challenged. Will we yield or will we stand? So what I'm asking is for you to put yourself in Daniel's shoes. Because I want you to understand what he was going through. A man that had to stand fast in a pagan society. Yet he still did. A man that stood up in a way that challenged their thinking. And he refused to change. Not only him, but his friends. But how can you do that in today's society? The only way is, you see, it's impossible to live like Daniel unless you have established a relationship with God. See, that's where it all comes to a head. In order to have the posture of a steadfast believer like Daniel is to have a relationship that God becomes number one in our lives. You see, and that changes our stance in the world. That changes our relationship with each other. That changes everything. Now, it doesn't... I'm throwing a lot out here, okay? It doesn't allow us to be condescending to others. It doesn't allow us to be condemning of others. But when God gets a hold of us, it does allow us to love them like God loves them. To show grace and truth. Huh? Are you with me still? You see, because we see that in the scriptures, that in Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, let your conversation be always full of grace. Huh? Seasoned with salt. It doesn't mean that you need to take a salt shaker with you. That's not what it's talking about. But it does mean that God has called us to be similar to salt, where we enhance the flavor, where we bring the taste buds to excitement, so to speak. You know, add a little salt to broccoli. It's good. And so we are to enhance the flavor. And so when the Word of God speaks concerning us as seasoned with salt, we're to bring the excitement of what God has done in our lives to the lives of others, to let them know, hey, you're missing out. You're missing out. That broccoli's just plain, but a little salt, and that's going to be excellent. And so here it says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it speaks concerning Jesus. And for those of you that are not familiar, when it says the Word is Christ, in reference to Christ. Okay, and it says here, the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the only begotten Father. Meaning that when Christ came, we beheld who God is. When they seen Christ, they seen the Father, God the Father. But I want to focus on that last part of that scripture. Because it says that when the Word was made flesh and dwell among us, full of grace and truth. It was not full of hatred. It was full of grace and truth. And so the posture of Christ was one of grace. Okay? And so if it's one of grace, then what about us? Grace and truth. You see? And so... So we're not to be arrogant, condescending, but we are to be meek and mild. Now, when people hear the word meek, they think soft and weak. But yet the Word of God says that Jesus was meek. I don't think he was soft. You know, because he challenged the Pharisees. You brood of vipers. That's not weak, you know. And to the point where, you know what, even you're like a grave that is full of dead bones. That's what he's saying. You guys are ugly. You guys are full of corruption. You guys are nothing. He wasn't weak, but he's definitely meek. Because when he approached individuals, he approached them with love. All right, never mind. But he approached them with love. And it mattered what they were doing. It mattered to him how they were living, but it didn't matter who they were, because they were all important to him. You see? The posture of a righteous believer in a world that is in control is one that stands fast in the face of adversity, in spite of who speaks it, who challenges you. You see, here's one thing that we need to remember. As we stand fast, we remember this. This world, this is not my home. It shouldn't be yours either. You're aliens here. Not aliens as in Mexico. Not aliens as in outer space aliens. But, well, then again. But you are aliens here, the word of God says. Okay? Philippians 3:20, it reads this way. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await the Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, because these are the scriptures that we need to stand on as we face this world. As we stand fast in what we believe in, according to the word of God. I don't want to say what we believe in, because everybody believes in something. Doesn't mean it's right. Okay, but we believe in the word of God that has stand the test of time. All right. And so when we stand upon the word of God, knowing that God says that this world is not your world, you have a better world. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14 says, for here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. That's exciting. You see, because this is our posture as believers. That we stand fast because we know what's to come. We stand fast because we know who is in control. We stand fast not because of what everyone else says, but what he has said for us. So this is our stance as believers, that no matter what comes at us, we know that tomorrow has already been planned out because God has it in his hands. And Daniel purposed in his heart. We need to, I wrote this down a little while ago as a challenge. So we need to hunger and thirst after God beyond our scope of our reality. I want you to chew on that for a second. Because sometimes we want things, we hunger and thirst after God in our own realm. God doesn't work just in our realm. He works in the supernatural. He works beyond our understanding. He works beyond our comprehension. He works beyond our realm of reality into the realm of the unknown. You know? Let me explain it this way. Let me prove it this way. Peter sees Jesus walking on the water. If that's you, Lord, then you call me out. Beyond his realm. And the next part was that Peter was called out and he stepped out of the boat. You see, that's beyond our realm. That's when we realize that even though everything in front of us says one thing, we know God can say another. You see? The Word of God says, I can do all things by myself. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't mean that you can do anything and everything. What it means is that when you get to a place when you can't go beyond your own strength and you rely upon God to guide you, you rely upon God to help you through the struggles of life, you rely upon God in everything that you do, you rely upon Him, He says, then I will strengthen you for that purpose. You see? It is not something that we can use as a magic wish, you know. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No. Sorry. Sometimes I lose it. Don't make me laugh when I have something in my mouth. And so, when we learn to trust in God, when we learn to have the posture of Daniel and walk in obedience, God has a way of stepping into our realm and moving on our behalf. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. It's a familiar passage. But it's a very powerful passage that I love. Because it's a reminder to the believers that as you stand in obedience, something happens. I'm going to read the whole chapter. I like saying that because sometimes people don't know that verse or that chapter and they're freaking out. Oh my goodness, he's going to spend an hour just reading this whole chapter. It's only 6 verses for those of you that didn't turn there. Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. Verse 3, it shows what happens when we walk in obedience and then God becomes number one in our lives. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the shaft that which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You see, excuse me. We know, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that Once we receive Christ as our personal Savior, we have become a new creation. And as we walk in obedience, the posture that we have is one of not of self, it's not of our own strength, but it's one of what the Word of God states, who we are in Him. Who are you? A child of the Most High. Who are you? I am forgiven. Who are you? I am one that walks in grace. Who are you? I am His. He knows my name. You see, that's the posture. All of a sudden, instead of being slumped over, we realize who we are in God, and it changes us. And when we face opposition, we realize, wait a minute, it's not against me, it's against Him. And He is my source of strength. So God, get Him. Why not? You see? But it changes our stance. And we can stand knowing that God is with us every step of the way. Amen? And so this morning, I want to challenge you to be a Daniel or Danielle. And not this Danielle. Oh, no. We'll talk later. But I want to challenge you to be like Daniel. Because the book illustrates how we ought to live in a pagan world. The book also illustrates or it shows how faithful God is to His people. Even in the midst of discipline, because God was disciplining his people during this time. But yet God's faithfulness shone through as they learned to lean upon Him, as they learned to walk in obedience. God always shone through because He is a faithful God. And if you don't know it, I will repeat it again. He is a faithful God. I've seen too many things. I've seen His hand too many times in my life to chalk it up as coincidence. He is a faithful God. And my challenge is, if you don't know Him today is a day that you can get to know Him. Don't wait. Because we don't know what tomorrow holds. We know who holds tomorrow. But we don't know what tomorrow holds. But guess what? I'm not worried about tomorrow. Because my life is in His hands. Amen. Let's all stand this morning as the musicians come forward. And once again, the challenge, be a Daniel in a